Navigating the Brain: Anatomical Orientation and Neurophysiological Foundations. Understanding brain anatomy requires familiarity with standard anatomical planes and directional terminology. The three principal planes used to visualize the brain are the sagittal, coronal, and horizontal planes, also referred to as axial planes. A sagittal plane divides the brain into two halves, right and left. A coronal plane separates it into anterior, or front, and posterior, or back, portions. A horizontal plane slices the brain into superior, or upper, and inferior, or lower, sections. These anatomical planes are crucial in neuroimaging and neurosurgical planning, and they also guide the placement of electroencephalography, EEG, electrodes, and inform the interpretation of anatomical and functional relationships. Directional terms further specify spatial relationships and orientations within the nervous system. Medial denotes a position toward the midline, while lateral indicates a position toward the side. Anterior, or rostral, refers to structures positioned toward the front, and posterior, or caudal, refers to those toward the back. Superior and inferior describe structures located above and below, respectively. In the spinal cord, dorsal corresponds to the posterior, or sensory, aspect, and ventral refers to the anterior, or motor, aspect. In the brain, these directional terms shift due to the cephalic flexure of the neural axis. Ipsilateral indicates structures on the same side, whereas contralateral refers to those on the opposite side. These terms are particularly important for understanding the decussation of sensory and motor pathways. The surface of the cerebral cortex is characterized by convolutions that include gyri, or ridges, and sulci, or grooves, which serve to increase the cortical surface area. Prominent anatomical landmarks include the central sulcus, which demarcates the boundary between the frontal and parietal lobes, the lateral, or sylvian, fissure, which outlines the upper border of the temporal lobe, and the longitudinal fissure, which separates the two cerebral hemispheres. These features are routinely used to localize functional cortical regions and guide EEG electrode placement using standardized systems such as the International 1020 and 1010 configurations. Familiarity with anatomical orientation and terminology enables accurate and consistent communication in neuroscience and clinical settings. It also facilitates the interpretation of EEG topography, where scalp-recorded electrical signals are correlated with specific cortical regions and their underlying functions. Mastering the navigation of the brain in anatomical terms forms a foundation for recognizing how structure supports function and how disturbances in anatomical organization may manifest as altered patterns of neuroelectric activity. Accurate analysis of brain structure and function depends on consistent spatial reference systems, and anatomical planes provide a foundational framework for this purpose. The sagittal plane enables the examination of midline structures, including the corpus callosum and brainstem. The coronal plane, which slices from side to side, reveals the spatial relationships among the cortical lobes and subcortical nuclei, including the thalamus and basal ganglia. The horizontal plane separates the brain into superior and inferior sections and is widely used in neuroimaging modalities, such as magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, and computed tomography, CT, to assess structural and functional integrity. These orientations are not merely abstract divisions. They are indispensable tools for surgical navigation, interpreting neuroimaging data, and localizing EEG electrodes. The sagittal view is particularly useful in evaluating the cingulate cortex and the ventricular system, while the coronal plane facilitates analysis of medial temporal lobe structures associated with memory and affect regulation. Horizontal sections are especially valuable for visualizing the lateral ventricles, hippocampus, and insular cortex, all of which play essential roles in cognition and emotional processing. Orientation planes also serve as references for describing the trajectories and directionality of neural pathways. Axonal tracts, such as the corticospinal and thalamocortical pathways, can be traced through these planes, revealing the spatial organization of brain connectivity. These perspectives are essential for understanding how localized structural lesions may disrupt distributed functional networks, a phenomenon evident in disconnection syndromes and diaschisis. Anatomical planes thereby support both structural and functional interpretations of the nervous system, particularly in the context of EEG. In EEG analysis, orientation planes facilitate the translation of electrode locations to the underlying cortical regions. For instance, the FZ electrode, located along the sagittal midline, corresponds anatomically to the dorsomedial prefrontal cortex, while the P3 electrode, positioned in the left parietal region in the coronal plane, aligns with the parietal association cortex. These spatial correspondences enable clinicians and researchers to infer functional implications from topographic EEG patterns. Mastery of anatomical orientation and spatial terminology is a critical skill for accurately linking scalp-recorded EEG potentials to their cortical and subcortical sources. It enhances communication across clinical and research disciplines, supporting a more precise interpretation of both structural imaging and electrophysiological data. Directional terminology and functional relevance. Directional terminology provides the standardized language necessary for describing spatial relationships within the nervous system. These terms are fundamental in anatomical dissection, neuroimaging, and EEG localization, allowing for precise and reproducible communication. Medial refers to a position toward the midline of the body or brain, whereas lateral describes a position away from the midline. Superior and inferior refer to positions above and below a given structure, respectively. Anterior, also known as rostral, denotes the front, while posterior, or caudal, indicates the back. In the brain, the directional framework is altered by the cephalic flexure at the midbrain diencephalic junction. As a result, dorsal in the brain refers to the superior surface, and ventral refers to the inferior aspect. In contrast, within the spinal cord, dorsal continues to indicate the sensory posterior surface, and ventral the motor anterior surface. This shift is crucial for accurately interpreting clinical and imaging data across various regions of the central nervous system. Additional directional terms include ipsilateral, meaning on the same side, and contralateral, meaning on the opposite side. These descriptors are particularly significant when discussing pathways that cross the midline, such as the corticospinal tract or the visual pathways. For example, the left motor cortex predominantly controls muscles on the right side of the body via contralateral projections. Similarly, visual input from the left visual field is processed in the right occipital cortex. Understanding these terms is essential for mapping electrode locations in EEG, planning surgical interventions, and describing the localization of neurological deficits. They provide the linguistic framework necessary for spatial reasoning and for translating anatomical knowledge into clinical practice. Cortical features and electrophysiological implications. The surface of the human cerebral cortex is highly convoluted, allowing nearly 1 square meter of cortical surface area to fit within the cranial vault. This folding is formed by gyri, the raised ridges, and sulci, the intervening grooves. Deep sulci, referred to as fissures, further subdivide the cortex into functionally distinct regions. Anatomical landmarks, such as the central sulcus, which divides the frontal and parietal lobes, and the lateral, sylvian, fissure, which separates the temporal lobe from the frontal and parietal regions, are critical for localizing functional areas. The longitudinal fissure separates the two cerebral hemispheres. These structural features serve as reference points for EEG electrode placement and are used to interpret cortical activity patterns in both clinical and research settings. Gyri are not merely surface features, but reflect underlying patterns of connectivity and functional specialization. The precentral gyrus houses the primary motor cortex, and the postcentral gyrus contains the primary somatosensory cortex. These areas are organized somatotopically, meaning that different regions correspond to specific body parts, forming a topographic representation known as the motor and sensory homunculi. This cortical folding supports efficient neural processing by reducing conduction time between functionally connected areas and allowing for the dense packing of cortical columns. Folding patterns vary between individuals and are influenced by genetic, developmental, and environmental factors. Some sulci, such as the central sulcus, are consistent across individuals, while others exhibit considerable variability, which can influence EEG source localization. Functionally, cortical morphology affects the propagation of electrical signals. Pyramidal neurons are oriented perpendicular to the cortical surface, a configuration that facilitates the generation of extracellular dipoles detectable by surface EEG. However, the geometry of gyri and sulci can distort or attenuate these signals. Accurate interpretation of the EEG, particularly in source localization methods such as LORETTA or S-LORETTA, requires knowledge of cortical folding to map scalp signals to their cortical generators. Understanding cortical anatomy is, therefore, essential not only for structural localization but also for interpreting bioelectric activity, designing spatial filters, and developing electrode montages in clinical EEG practice. The unfixed brain, structural fragility and neurophysiological considerations. The unfixed human brain, when observed in its natural state, reveals a gelatinous and fragile texture that underscores the importance of structural preservation. Without the rigidity provided by chemical fixation, the brain lacks firmness and is easily distorted by gravity or manual manipulation. This vulnerability highlights the crucial role of protective structures, including the skull, cerebrospinal fluid, CSF, meninges, and cerebral vasculature, in maintaining the brain's form and protecting its delicate architecture. The brain is composed of regions with varying structural characteristics. For example, the cerebellum is densely folded and vascularized, while the frontal lobes contain large association areas involved in abstract reasoning and executive function. Gray matter, composed mainly of neuronal cell bodies, is softer than white matter, which consists of myelinated axons. These textural differences reflect the specialized functions of different brain regions and their connectivity. Observing the unfixed brain bridges the gap between textbook schematics and real-world anatomy. It reveals the spatial relationships among cortical lobes, subcortical structures, and the ventricular system in a visceral and integrative manner. This perspective is essential for understanding how conditions such as traumatic brain injury, tumors, or cerebral edema can displace or compress neural structures within the fixed volume of the cranial cavity. From a neurophysiological standpoint, the pliability of the unfixed brain has implications for signal propagation. Neural transmission relies not only on cellular properties, but also on the structural coherence of tissue. Mechanical deformation or pathological changes can alter the orientation and distance between neurons, affecting synchronization, connectivity, and the expression of EEG signals. Studying the unfixed brain provides critical insight into the relationship between brain structure and function, vulnerability, and adaptability. Dissection as a tool for spatial understanding. Dissecting the human brain, whether preserved or fresh, allows for the direct observation of neuroanatomical relationships that are often obscured in imaging studies or diagrams. Dissection enables hands-on exploration of the spatial proximity of functional systems, the continuity of white matter pathways, and the morphology of cortical and subcortical regions. It provides an opportunity to examine the convoluted surface of the cortex, the laminated structure of the cerebellum, and the vertical arrangement of brainstem nuclei. Dissection also reveals how vulnerable white matter tracts can be to shearing forces, offering insights into the mechanisms of traumatic brain injury. This experience enhances understanding of EEG localization. For example, observing the arcuate fasciculus clarifies the anatomical connection between Broca's and Wernicke's areas, explaining how lesions in this tract result in conduction aphasia. Similarly, visualization of the corpus callosum and commissural fibers contributes to our understanding of interhemispheric coherence and EEG connectivity. Brain dissection also exposes the vascular architecture, including the circle of Willis and its branching supply to cortical territories. This informs clinical interpretation of stroke-related EEG changes and highlights the influence of vascular pathology on electrophysiological function. The proximity of blood vessels to cortical generators explains how changes in perfusion or blood-brain barrier integrity can alter EEG activity. Overall, dissection reinforces spatial reasoning and contextual understanding, translating abstract anatomical knowledge into concrete clinical insight. It enhances the interpretation of EEG and supports the application of neurofeedback as a targeted and anatomically grounded intervention. subdivisions of the brain, and functional integration. The brain is classically subdivided into the forebrain, midbrain, and hindbrain, each of which contains anatomically and functionally specialized structures. These subdivisions reflect both the hierarchical organization of neural processing and the evolutionary development of the central nervous system. The forebrain is the largest and most functionally complex region of the brain. It includes the telencephalon and diencephalon. The telencephalon comprises the cerebral cortex, which governs conscious thought, sensory interpretation, and voluntary movement. It also includes the basal ganglia, involved in motor planning and coordination, and the limbic system, which plays key roles in emotional regulation and memory formation. The diencephalon contains the thalamus, the primary relay station for sensory information to the cortex, and the hypothalamus, which regulates autonomic, endocrine, and motivational states. These structures underlie higher cognitive functions, including executive control, attention, and affective modulation. The midbrain, or mesencephalon, serves as a conduit between the forebrain and hindbrain, housing critical nuclei for sensorimotor integration and arousal regulation. It contains the superior colliculi, involved in visual reflexes, and the inferior colliculi, which process auditory input. The substantia nigra and red nucleus contribute to voluntary motor control, with the substantia nigra serving as a key source of dopaminergic input. The midbrain also generates ascending activation signals that modulate cortical arousal and are reflected in EEG changes during wakefulness, sleep transitions, and attentional shifts. The hindbrain includes the metencephalon and myelencephalon, which support motor coordination and autonomic regulation. The metencephalon consists of the pons, which mediates communication between the cortex and cerebellum and regulates functions such as respiration and sleep, and the cerebellum, which fine-tunes movement and supports cognitive timing and emotional modulation. The myelencephalon houses the medulla oblongata, which governs essential autonomic functions, including cardiovascular and respiratory control. The medulla integrates inputs from the vagus nerve and brainstem nuclei, influencing heart rate variability and visceral regulation, parameters that can be tracked using EEG and biofeedback. Understanding these subdivisions is essential for interpreting electrophysiological signals. Each region contributes to distinct EEG rhythms, such as alpha and theta waves generated through thalamocortical circuits or beta activity associated with basal ganglia-thalamic cortical loops. Disruptions in these subdivisions can result in characteristic EEG abnormalities and inform the selection of therapeutic strategies in neurofeedback and clinical neuromodulation. The skull, structural protection and electrophysiological filtering. The skull, composed of 22 bones joined by sutures, forms a rigid protective case for the brain. It is anatomically divided into the cranium, which houses the brain, and the facial skeleton. The cranium includes the frontal, parietal, temporal, occipital, sphenoid, and ethmoid bones. These bones vary in thickness and density, with an average cranial thickness of approximately 6.5 millimeters in adults. This bony architecture not only provides protection, but also influences the transmission of electrophysiological signals from brain tissue to the scalp. In EEG, the skull acts as a low-pass filter, attenuating higher frequency components of the signal more than lower frequency components. This occurs because the electrical conductivity of bone is lower than that of neural tissue or cerebrospinal fluid. As a result, gamma and high beta activity are often significantly reduced before reaching scalp electrodes, posing challenges for high-frequency EEG analysis. Anatomical variations in skull thickness across individuals and across regions of the skull can distort spatial patterns of recorded EEG signals. Features such as sutures and foramina, which allow the passage of blood vessels and cranial nerves, may introduce regions of differing electrical impedance. These anatomical characteristics must be considered in EEG modeling and source localization algorithms to ensure accuracy. Individual differences in skull structure, influenced by age, sex, and pathology, further affect signal propagation. For example, children's thinner skulls result in less attenuation, whereas aging or certain disorders may increase skull density, diminishing signal amplitude. An understanding of these structural properties is critical for accurate EEG interpretation, particularly in quantitative EEG, QEG, and cross-subject comparisons. The meninges, mechanical and immunological interface. The meninges are three concentric protective membranes that envelop the brain and spinal cord, providing mechanical stability and regulating the dynamics of cerebrospinal fluid. These layers include the dura mater, arachnoid mater, and pia mater, arranged from outermost to innermost. The dura mater is a dense, fibrous sheath that anchors the brain to the skull, preventing excessive intracranial movement. Beneath it lies the arachnoid mater, a semi-permeable membrane that supports CSF circulation within the subarachnoid space. The innermost layer, the pia mater, is a delicate membrane that closely adheres to the cortical surface, providing a conduit for penetrating blood vessels. The subarachnoid space, filled with CSF, acts as a cushion against mechanical trauma and serves as a medium for nutrient and waste exchange. Arachnoid granulations permit the reabsorption of CSF into the venous circulation, maintaining intracranial pressure homeostasis. Disruption of this system, due to infection, hemorrhage, or inflammation, can result in elevated intracranial pressure or impaired clearance, often accompanied by EEG abnormalities such as generalized slowing or focal attenuation. Meningeal integrity has clinical relevance in conditions such as subdural or epidural hematomas, which involve bleeding between the meningeal layers. These hematomas can compress cortical structures and alter electrophysiological activity, typically presenting as regional slowing or reduced voltage on EEG. In addition to their mechanical roles, the meninges play a crucial part in central nervous system immune surveillance. They contain macrophages, dendritic cells, and lymphatic-like vessels that respond to pathogenic stimuli. Their involvement in inflammation, trauma, and immune-mediated diseases underscores the meninges' role as both structural and physiological mediators of neural function, directly influencing the bioelectric environment detectable by EEG. Cerebral ventricles and electrophysiological conduction. The cerebral ventricles are a series of interconnected cavities within the brain that produce and circulate cerebrospinal fluid. The ventricular system comprises the two lateral ventricles, the third ventricle, and the fourth ventricle, all of which are lined with ependymal cells and connected via narrow passageways. The foramina of Monroe link the lateral ventricles to the third ventricle, which connects to the fourth ventricle through the cerebral aqueduct. The choroid plexus, located within the ventricles, produces CSF, which serves to cushion the brain, remove metabolic waste, and regulate intracranial pressure. CSF flow is continuous, facilitating the transport of nutrients and waste clearance between the neural parenchyma and the vascular system. This process is especially important during sleep, when clearance efficiency is at its maximum. From an electrophysiological perspective, CSF has high electrical conductivity and significantly affects the spatial distribution of EEG signals. Because of this, potentials generated deep within the brain can be volume conducted rapidly through CSF, leading to the simultaneous appearance of similar waveforms across widely spaced scalp electrodes. This phenomenon can obscure signal localization and introduce interpretative challenges in EEG analysis. Ventricular enlargement, as seen in disorders such as Alzheimer's disease, schizophrenia, or normal pressure hydrocephalus, is often associated with cortical atrophy and neuronal loss. Such structural changes may correlate with generalized EEG slowing, reduced coherence, or asymmetry. Therefore, assessment of ventricular anatomy complements electrophysiological findings and contributes to a comprehensive understanding of brain health and pathology. The glymphatic system, neural clearance and metabolic regulation. The glymphatic system is a recently identified waste clearance pathway within the central nervous system, playing a critical role in maintaining brain homeostasis. Unlike the peripheral lymphatic system, the glymphatic system relies on glial cells, particularly astrocytes, to facilitate the movement of cerebrospinal fluid along paravascular spaces. These astrocytes express aquaporin 4 water channels, which enable CSF to enter the interstitial space and mix with interstitial fluid, thereby mobilizing and removing metabolic waste products. This clearance system is most active during slow-wave sleep, when interstitial spaces expand and glymphatic flow increases. During this time, waste products such as amyloid beta and tau proteins, which are implicated in neurodegenerative diseases, are efficiently removed from the brain parenchyma. The glymphatic system thus complements the ventricular and vascular systems by promoting the clearance of metabolic waste rather than distributing nutrients. Disruptions in glymphatic function are associated with conditions such as Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, and chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which are characterized by protein aggregation and neuroinflammation. Impaired clearance can alter the neuronal microenvironment, increasing oxidative stress and promoting neurodegeneration. From an electrophysiological standpoint, inefficient glymphatic clearance may affect neuronal excitability and network synchronization. Sleep disturbances, which impair glymphatic function, are often reflected in EEG as increased theta or delta activity during wakefulness, reduced alpha power, or decreased sleep spindle density. These changes highlight the relationship between structural metabolic integrity and electrophysiological expression. Clinically, strategies aimed at enhancing glymphatic activity, such as optimizing sleep quality, controlling blood pressure, and reducing systemic inflammation, may improve cognitive performance and brain health. Emerging neurofeedback protocols may incorporate sleep-focused interventions to support glymphatic function, thereby enhancing neural plasticity and resilience. The brain's vascular system and electrophysiological correlates. The brain's vascular system ensures the delivery of oxygen and nutrients, as well as the removal of metabolic byproducts, thereby maintaining the metabolic demands of neural tissue. This system includes a complex network of arteries, capillaries, and veins. The primary arterial supply is derived from the internal carotid and vertebral arteries, which join to form the circle of Willis, an anastomotic loop at the base of the brain that provides collateral circulation. The anterior cerebral artery and middle cerebral artery, branches of the internal carotid, supply the frontal, parietal, and lateral temporal lobes. The posterior cerebral artery, originating from the basilar artery, supplies the occipital lobe, inferior temporal lobe, and parts of the thalamus and brainstem. These vascular territories correspond to functional domains that are often implicated in focal EEG abnormalities observed in ischemic or hemorrhagic events. Neurons are highly metabolically active and extremely sensitive to ischemia. Even brief interruptions in cerebral perfusion can lead to synaptic failure and cellular injury. Changes often reflected in EEG as focal slowing, attenuation of fast frequencies, or loss of reactivity. These patterns may precede structural imaging abnormalities and serve as early indicators of cerebrovascular pathology. Venous drainage occurs via superficial and deep veins that empty into the dural venous sinuses, ultimately draining into the internal jugular veins. These venous pathways also support CSF reabsorption and glymphatic clearance, particularly during sleep. Disruptions in venous outflow can lead to increased intracranial pressure, reduced clearance efficiency, and secondary alterations in EEG. Understanding the brain's vascular architecture is crucial for interpreting EEG in conditions such as stroke, transient ischemic attack, and small vessel disease. Moreover, interventions that support vascular health, including regular physical activity, blood pressure control, and dietary optimization, can influence EEG parameters such as coherence, power, and reactivity, underscoring the interconnectedness of vascular integrity and neuroelectric function. Brodmann areas, cytoarchitecture and functional specialization. Brodmann areas are cytoarchitecturally defined regions of the cerebral cortex, delineated by Corbinian Brodmann in the early 20th century based on variations in cellular morphology and laminar organization observed via Nissl staining. Although originally anatomical in nature, these areas correlate strongly with functional domains identified through modern neuroimaging, lesion studies, and electrophysiological techniques. Primary sensory regions include Brodmann areas 1, 2, and 3 in the postcentral gyrus, which constitute the primary somatosensory cortex. Area 17 in the occipital lobe is the primary visual cortex, and areas 41 and 42 in the superior temporal gyrus comprise the primary auditory cortex. Each of these areas processes raw sensory input and projects to adjacent association cortices for higher-order integration. Motor functions are governed by Area 4, located in the precentral gyrus, which serves as the primary motor cortex. Area 6, which encompasses the premotor and supplementary motor areas, is involved in planning and coordinating movements. These areas are major sources of beta and mu rhythm activity observable in EEG, particularly during movement preparation and execution. Frontal association areas, including areas 9, 10, 11, and 46, support executive functions such as working memory, decision-making, and social behavior. Broca's area, which encompasses areas 44 and 45, is critical for speech production and syntactic processing. Damage to these regions results in characteristic deficits such as expressive aphasia, disinhibition, or executive dysfunction, often mirrored in EEG as altered frontal asymmetry or dysregulated coherence. The parietal lobes host areas involved in spatial processing and multisensory integration. For example, areas 5 and 7 support proprioception and visuospatial awareness. The angular gyrus, area 39, and supramarginal gyrus, area 40, are involved in reading, writing, and arithmetic. Dysfunction in these regions may produce disorders such as neglect, dyscalculia, or agraphia. The temporal lobes contain areas 22, Wernicke's area, responsible for language comprehension, and areas 37, 20, and 21, which participate in object recognition and memory encoding. The fusiform gyrus, associated with area 37, supports facial recognition, and its dysfunction is implicated in conditions such as prosopagnosia. The limbic system, including Brodmann areas 24, 25, 32, and 33 in the anterior cingulate cortex, and areas 28, 34, 35, and 36 in the parahippocampal gyrus, mediates emotional regulation, interoception, and memory. These regions are key generators of theta rhythms and slow cortical potentials, both of which are relevant for effective EEG signatures. Understanding Brodmann area topology enhances the interpretation of EEG by linking scalp potentials to their likely cortical sources. This framework is central to quantitative EEG analysis and neurofeedback, allowing for the targeting of specific cognitive or emotional functions through regionally specific neuromodulation. Functional connectivity, phase synchronization, and EEG coherence. Connectivity in the brain refers to the relationships between distinct regions that coordinate neural activity to support perception, cognition, and behavior. This connectivity is conceptualized in three forms: structural, functional, and affective. Structural connectivity refers to the physical pathways linking brain regions, such as white matter tracts. Functional connectivity refers to the statistical correlation between neural signals from different locations, whereas affective connectivity describes the directional influence one neural structure has on another. Functional connectivity is commonly assessed in EEG using measures such as coherence, phase locking value, and mutual information. Coherence quantifies the consistency of phase and amplitude relationships between two signals over time within a specific frequency band. High coherence implies synchronized activity and effective communication between regions, whereas low coherence may reflect disconnection or impaired integrative processing. Phase resetting refers to the realignment of the phase of ongoing oscillatory activity in response to internal or external stimuli. This realignment enables coordinated network activation, particularly during cognitive tasks requiring attention, perception, or learning. Phase resets often appear as transient increases in EEG synchronization, known as event-related synchronization or desynchronization. EEG synchrony can occur locally or across regions and frequency bands. Local synchrony is typically observed as increased power in a given region, while interregional synchrony reflects the dynamic coupling between cortical areas. This interregional synchrony supports large-scale brain networks, including the default mode network, salience network, and executive control network. Abnormal synchrony is a hallmark of many neuropsychiatric and neurological conditions. For example, excessive synchrony in beta or gamma bands is often seen in epilepsy, while reduced coherence and phase locking are common in disorders such as schizophrenia and autism spectrum disorder. EEG coherence measures are therefore used to evaluate network integrity and guide interventions such as neurofeedback. In clinical applications, coherence training and neurofeedback aims to enhance or suppress specific network interactions to improve executive functioning, emotional regulation, or attentional control. However, coherence must be interpreted carefully, as it can be influenced by volume conduction, the choice of reference electrode, and signal quality. Proper artifact rejection and source localization techniques are necessary to ensure valid inferences. Comodulation, amplitude correlation across brain regions. While coherence assesses phase relationships, comodulation measures the amplitude correlation between EEG signals from different brain regions. It evaluates how oscillatory power increases or decreases together across time, reflecting synchronized intensity of activity rather than phase alignment. This metric is typically calculated using Pearson correlation coefficients and is particularly useful when phase relationships are variable or unreliable. Comodulation provides insight into functional coupling that may not manifest as coherent phase locking. For example, during working memory tasks, comodulation of beta band amplitudes between frontal and parietal cortices may reflect coordinated cognitive processing. Conversely, disrupted comodulation may signal network fragmentation, as observed in traumatic brain injury or autism. Clinically, comodulation training is used in neurofeedback to support stable amplitude relationships between target regions. This can be effective in populations where phase-based metrics are less reliable, such as individuals with highly variable or noisy EEG patterns. Comodulation may also be less susceptible to artifacts caused by volume conduction, although pre-processing and artifact rejection remain critical. Together, phase coherence and comodulation provide complementary insights into network function. Coherence captures timing consistency, while comodulation reflects synchronized amplitude fluctuation. Both metrics contribute to a comprehensive understanding of functional brain architecture and can guide personalized neuromodulatory interventions based on individual EEG profiles. Mirror neuron system, perception, action coupling, and social cognition. The mirror neuron system comprises a network of cortical and subcortical regions that activate both when an individual performs an action and when observing the same action performed by another. First discovered in the premotor cortex of macaques, mirror neurons have been identified in humans in regions such as the inferior frontal gyrus, inferior parietal lobule, insula, and superior temporal sulcus. This system plays a fundamental role in social cognition, imitation learning, empathy, and theory of mind. It provides a neural mechanism by which the brain simulates observed behavior, facilitating understanding of others' intentions and emotions. Mirror neuron activity links perceptual input to motor representations, enabling internal modeling of external events. Anatomically, these regions are interconnected by white matter tracts such as the arcuate fasciculus, which supports rapid information exchange between temporal and frontal language-related areas. Subcortical regions, including the limbic system and cerebellum, have also demonstrated mirroring properties, reflecting the integration of emotional and sensorimotor signals. Disruption of the mirror neuron system has been proposed as a contributing factor to social communication deficits in autism spectrum disorder, ASD. Reduced Mu rhythm suppression, a marker of mirror neuron activity during action observation tasks, is commonly reported in individuals with ASD. EEG-based interventions may target this system through protocols designed to enhance Mu suppression, interhemispheric coherence, or sensorimotor integration. Neurofeedback strategies that incorporate action observation, kinesthetic imagery, and visual feedback may effectively engage the mirror system and improve social functioning. The mirror neuron network thus represents a biologically grounded, clinically accessible target for interventions aimed at enhancing interpersonal cognition and behavioral flexibility. White matter connectivity, structural foundations for functional integration. Cognitive and behavioral processes rely on the efficient transmission of information between distant brain regions. This transmission is mediated by white matter tracts, which are organized into three main categories: association fibers, projection fibers, and commissural fibers. Association fibers connect cortical regions within the same hemisphere. For example, the arcuate fasciculus links Broca's and Wernicke's areas, supporting language comprehension and production. The uncinate fasciculus connects the orbitofrontal cortex with the anterior temporal lobe and is implicated in emotion and memory processing. Projection fibers connect the cerebral cortex with subcortical structures, the brainstem, and the spinal cord. The internal capsule and corona radiata are prominent projection pathways that carry motor commands and sensory information. These tracts are essential for voluntary movement, autonomic regulation, and the integration of sensorimotor functions. Damage to projection fibers due to stroke or demyelination often results in motor and sensory deficits, which are reflected in EEG as focal slowing or loss of reactivity. Commissural fibers connect corresponding regions between the two hemispheres. The corpus callosum is the largest commissure, enabling bilateral coordination and hemispheric integration. The anterior and posterior commissures also facilitate interhemispheric communication. Abnormalities in commissural pathways can result in disconnection syndromes, manifesting in EEG as reduced coherence and asymmetrical activity. These white matter tracts underlie the brain's dynamic functional networks, supporting connectivity measures such as coherence, phase synchrony, and cross-frequency coupling. Their integrity determines the efficiency of information transfer, the flexibility of cognitive responses, and the robustness of neural adaptation. Understanding the anatomical structure of these pathways enhances the interpretation of EEG data and informs the design of targeted neuromodulatory and neurofeedback interventions. Subcortical structures, thalamus, basal ganglia, and limbic system. Subcortical structures play essential roles in integrating sensory input, modulating motor output, regulating emotion, and maintaining arousal. These deep nuclei form reciprocally connected loops with the cerebral cortex, generating and shaping EEG rhythms that reflect both baseline and task-related brain activity. The thalamus serves as the central relay for sensory and motor signals to the cortex. It is also a critical generator of EEG rhythms such as alpha, theta, and sleep spindles via thalamocortical loops. The reticular nucleus of the thalamus acts as a pacemaker, producing burst firing that promotes cortical synchronization. Thalamic injury or dysfunction can result in widespread EEG changes, including burst suppression, generalized slowing, or low-voltage fast activity. The basal ganglia, comprising the caudate nucleus, putamen, globus pallidus, subthalamic nucleus, and substantia nigra, regulate movement initiation and inhibition through complex disinhibitory circuits. These structures also contribute to procedural learning and motivational behavior. In conditions such as Parkinson's disease, basal ganglia dysfunction leads to increased beta-band synchrony, reflected in EEG as excessive rhythmicity or reduced variability in motor-related potentials. The limbic system, including the hippocampus, amygdala, cingulate cortex, and septal nuclei, supports memory consolidation, emotional processing, and stress regulation. These areas are major sources of theta oscillations and slow cortical potentials, which are modulated during affective states, memory tasks, and sleep. For example, hippocampal theta activity is prominent during encoding and navigation, while amygdala activity influences EEG markers of vigilance and emotional arousal. Together, these subcortical systems orchestrate global brain states, modulate cortical excitability, and contribute to the generation of rhythmic activity measurable with the EEG. Their dysfunction is associated with specific electrophysiological patterns and clinical syndromes, emphasizing their importance in EEG interpretation and neuromodulatory therapy. Conclusion: integration of brain structure and electrophysiological function. The hierarchical structure of the nervous system, from cortical macrocolumns and pyramidal neurons to subcortical nuclei and distributed white matter networks, forms the anatomical foundation for the generation and modulation of EEG rhythms. These rhythms emerge from the coordinated activity of neuronal populations and reflect ongoing cognitive, emotional, and physiological processes. Cortical regions, delineated cytoarchitecturally by Brodmann areas, serve as the functional substrates for perception, motor control, language, memory, and executive functioning. These regions are organized within dynamic large-scale networks that operate through synchronized oscillatory activity. Subcortical structures, including the thalamus, basal ganglia, and limbic system, modulate cortical excitability and support oscillatory patterns such as alpha, theta, beta, and sleep spindles. Thalamocortical feedback loops and reticular pacemaker mechanisms are particularly central to rhythmogenesis and EEG coherence. Structural interfaces, including the skull, meninges, cerebral ventricles, and glymphatic pathways, influence the biophysical transmission of EEG signals. These anatomical components determine the amplitude, spatial distribution, and temporal fidelity of recorded signals. For example, the skull acts as a frequency-selective filter, while cerebrospinal fluid and ventricular conductivity affect volume conduction and field potentials. Meningeal integrity and changes in intracranial pressure can modulate cortical activity, leading to specific EEG alterations in both diffuse and focal pathologies. Connectivity metrics, including coherence, phase locking, and comodulation, further describe how neural systems coordinate activity across space and time. These measures reveal the functional architecture of the brain, providing insight into both typical and pathological dynamics. EEG synchrony, phase reset mechanisms, and interregional coherence support adaptive behavior by facilitating rapid, context-dependent communication between distributed brain regions. The mirror neuron system exemplifies how anatomically distributed, yet functionally interconnected circuits mediate complex human behaviors such as empathy, imitation, and language acquisition. Similarly, white matter pathways, such as the arcuate fasciculus, internal capsule, and corpus callosum, support the rapid integration of information across regions and hemispheres, as reflected in EEG patterns of synchrony, coherence, and network activation. Together, these structural and functional elements underscore the importance of anatomical literacy for accurate EEG interpretation. The integration of neuroanatomical knowledge with electrophysiological principles enables clinicians and researchers to link observed scalp potentials with underlying neural generators, enhancing diagnostic precision and therapeutic targeting. Understanding the organization of the brain, from its macrostructural divisions to its microcircuit dynamics, provides a robust framework for interpreting EEG findings in clinical, cognitive, and neurofeedback contexts. This synthesis of anatomy and physiology is crucial for advancing individualized neuroscience, informing interventions, and promoting optimal brain function across health and disease.